Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Duke Machado, and I am on the road heading back from Waxahachie. Yep. Said it wrong, folks. That's how you do it. You do that, and you are done in this area. Because that would be the big giveaway, that you don't know the area. You say Waxahachie. So, for those of us who know it as Waxahachie, there's a lot going on in Ellis County here in Texas. They're about to have their annual Republican Party fundraiser, and they've asked me to MC their event, and I'm honored to do it. And so we were having a little strategy about who all was coming, who's going to be there. This is going to be a 300 to 400 capacity event with guest speakers, Senator Brian Birdwell here from Senate District 22, my senator in this part of Texas, and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, going to be basically headlining this event, coming in, giving a big pep talk, I'm sure. Maybe he's got some truth. Some truth might be a little painful for people to hear, but you know we're going to hear it. Immigration is big. Thank you for giving me just a few minutes to talk about my thoughts on immigration. So that's going to be an incredible opportunity to present a clear message to everyone in the audience as to what steps we might take as a party to rectify the fact that we're not really attracting to our party like we should be. I know that the values of our party, they say our values match with Hispanics and conservatives, but they're still not coming. They're still a sleeping giant working right under the surface there. And they're welders. They're construction workers. They are their salesmen, their drivers. These are the people who are busy working. They don't have the time to dedicate to politics. I mean, their time is precious. Kids, soccer, sports, football, baseball, whatever it is. We want to be there for our kids, and so people in the working ages are just busy. It makes me think about whether or not they see the value of this nation, and whether or not there's ever a point where they see what they cherish about the freedoms that we have, our independence, that they're willing to depart from one party and come to another, come to ours. And so people are always asking, you know, what is it we can do? What is it that the party can do? And, you know, for a long time, I have been saying, and people have also been saying, that Republicans should lead on tough issues like immigration, that we shouldn't let it fester, that we should not concede this issue to Democrats. But, you know, congressmen weigh the value of the Hispanic vote in one hand, and then they weigh the votes, and, you know, and then they weigh the exposure on the other hand, the negatives. What will the base think? What will the donors think? Will I come across as weak on immigration? If all I think about is mass deportation, it is the only way that I can keep these supporters. Do I stick with it, or do I actually listen to what people are trying to say and develop a solution that is meaningful and an example of the great intelligent people that we have in our country who can put this together. I mean, it's not rocket science. People say, well, on this issue, I was talking to a police officer this evening at dinner. You know, we talked very, very specifically about the number of people who are here that are undocumented and the danger that they inject into the community. We talked about cartels and what they do and how they butcher people. Swords, machetes. I mean, people don't want to talk about these things, but they're killing people. I understand people are running from that. And then you have Islam. You know, I've never read the Quran, however you pronounce it. I've known just a handful, personally, I've known a handful of Muslims, and most would consider themselves Persians, and they're very proud of their success in business, they're very proud of family, they're proud of their heritage. They both kind of have a side that is Americanized too, but you know there are Islamic and Muslim people who love this country. I know that, and they want the freedom to worship the way they are. And they're not extremists. They don't want to go out and kill people. They don't believe in the jihad. But their voice isn't strong enough within to silence that side. And it's because they're not willing to cut heads off like the other side is. There's a militant side that is armed with Humvees, American Humvees that we left behind. There's weapons. I mean, our tanks can be targeted. They've got drone technology that they're collaborating with Syria and Russia. And we're talking about taking in Syrian refugees, and we already see footage of who these people are. I don't know. Is that real footage? Is it fabricated footage of that car running over those people? Is it real footage of the Muslim boy going up and knocking out a British girl? She was dressed like a, I don't know, I can't remember what he called her. Wasn't good, though. Knocked her out cold. And then another one went over and kicked her while she was down. So, to me, I think about security and safety. You know, we're protected in our home. We're exercising our rights. And, you know, you don't want to be standing there without the ability to protect your family. That's what this all is going to boil down to. This is turning into a guns rights battle. people are afraid that the administration, the progressives, it's not just Obama's administration, it's the whole socialist movement. These people want our demise and destruction because we're the only thing that stands in their way of dominion. And they want to be world dominators. They want to submit people. They want to instill fear of aggression, nuclear war. You know, when I was in the Air Force, people, you know, I worked on nukes. And so I worked at McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas. And our team was really sharp. And, you know, our tech school was, well, I kind of considered it to be an advanced tech school. It was tough, and we got through, and we ended up on different bases. Some people went underground and worked on ICBMs, and others worked on air launch missiles. I worked on the air launch short range attack missile, nuclear power. And, you know, the technology, the blast of one missile, guidance templates, the propulsion. Everything about that technology is perceived as a threat, fear, apparently, how they see us, that they have to bring us down because as long as we have this, then we are more powerful and threatening, so they want one. So people say, let's end the nuclear battle. Well, but no, we want to use it for power, as a power source. Is there a way to have a nuclear power that doesn't create potential nuclear weapons-grade plutonium? I don't know. I think the trade industry in the nuclear world is going to boom. I mean, if a person were interested in investing in the stock market, it would be in companies that are providing infrastructure for nuclear technology. We want to be able to sell as much heavy water as possible. I mean, if we're going to let Iran sit over there and just prank out all the heavy water they can and just, you know, get it right up to... You know, they're going to make agreements with these countries. There's billions of dollars made in pressure. That's not a good environment for the American taxpayer. These deals with Iran are heinous. I call it the caviar and pistachio pill. So, look it up. It's in there. Caviar and pistachios. Start investing in that. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing just rigged. Really does. I hate to say it. We're kind of peons. We really don't matter. We send people to Washington, but really nothing happens. You know, the thing that really gets me is this whole thing about the dog and pony show of defunding Obamacare. When you think about how many congressmen were elected, senators were elected and reelected, by promising to defund Obamacare, especially House members, that would essentially say that it can't be enforced because we will be in control of the budget. We'll decline it in the budget. And we all felt warm and fuzzy about that. Oh, thank God we saved it. At least we have that. At least we have one way that we can be protected from this. And now you listen to them. Oh. You get the picture. It's a dog and pony show, and that's why I say sometimes it all seems rigged. In an average Joe break in and make an impact. I mean, I've met some incredible people in the past few days who just listening to. That's my navigation kicking in, like I said, broadcasting live on I-35 from Waxahachie, Texas to Waco, Texas. Duke Machado. This is the Duke Machado Show. Testing out audio on Blog Talk Radio while driving in a 2012 Ford Mustang at Aaron's Autos. Check it out. We've got three senior salespeople. Trust me, they know how to take care of you. And look for them online, aaronsautos.com. It's just a little plug for where I work and kind of what I'm doing. Check this out. So back to this program. We're talking about terrorism. We're talking about security. We're talking about safety. Now, to me, that should be priority of government. And if you put things in priority, then knowing who's here, just taking an inventory, is the first thing you do. And right now, if you took an inventory, you'd have about half of your stuff labeled. Maybe 60%. And we're not even talking about, we're not even talking about people who don't have licenses and IDs. We're just talking about people who maybe have expired visas and things like that. I mean, a lot of people. How are we going to filter out the good from the bad? Is it worth it to filter out the good from the bad? Some people don't think it is worth it. And you'll kind of hear them say in a bit, I don't care, just get rid of all of them. Send them all back. Or, I don't have a problem with mass deportation. We've got to do what we've got to do. And I don't see that happening. No. I think there's a way to tie things in a way that people are penalized. Pay large fees. Get in the back of the line. Wait as long as anyone else. Again, pay fees. Documentation. Well, we've got government buildings all over the country that could be dedicated to processing, doing what Ellis Island used to do. We used to have processes put in place to distinguish me. Now it doesn't even matter. That's crazy. But our politicians, I don't know. You want to have faith in, you want to have confidence that people that you put in office are going to do what it takes. And maybe there's a hold-the-line sort of a mentality. You can hold the line and reduce damage. Time will prove that that was the wise. And maybe they're right. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, just think of the growth. Think of all the people that are going to be in Texas alone. Our highways, at least 3 lanes wide for hundreds of miles. In some places, 4 and 6 lanes. Mexico to the rest of the United States comes through Texas. Gangs, cartels, Muslims, they're finding Qurans in the desert. They want to hurt us, you know, that's pretty evident. They want to impose their will on us. And as a veteran, having gone through boot camp, having played high school sports, built camaraderie, you know, we need, I don't know what we need, folks. It's kind of depressing, really. Who's going to take the ball and run with it? Who can we trust? Does it even matter anymore? It seems like, and I don't even know the speaker, but it seems like the people don't like them. They all complain about them. But he's definitely got a hold-the-line attitude. But the people want to take charge and rush them. Rush the enemy, you know. Storm that hill. From that meeting. And that's why Trump has a lead. Bill. Ben Carson Gaming. Carla the Arena. I don't know. I know she disputes some of her past decisions as CEO. I haven't had the opportunity to examine that, but put that on my agenda of things to do. You know, I get emails. People send me emails and with video links, and you know, I haven't had time to look at them. Sorry, but I will watch them. probably after this show. This is a live test from I-35. If you hear the background noise, that's just I-35 traffic. Cruising 75 miles an hour is the limit here, day or night. We have full traffic at 10:24 p.m. Central Time, and traffic 18-wheelers on the nights. All the goods and services going up and down that highway. That's money. Those are products that are manufactured. I don't know how many came in through Mexico or through the different ports down in South Texas, off of the ships and onto the trucks. I don't know. But we buy it. We buy it. So, what are we going to do? Boycott? I would like to start buying U.S. I really need to do that. But even your manufacturers, they manufacture, the American manufacturers have their plants in Mexico, China. But really, are you supporting that American company? No, not really. That American company brought their business back. Well, that'd be a different story. But they're not going to do that. Our tax rates are too high. We'll start talking about taxes and start tuning people out. Nobody wants to hear about taxes. I do like the idea of a flat rate. I like that. So you give your 10% to government, to the government, to spend it wisely. That's it. I don't know. It seems fair to me. But takes all the complication out of things. Something to think about. We're going to work on getting guests for the program. We've only got a couple minutes here left, so I just want to plug my site, Facebook page, The Duke Machado Show. You can also find me on Twitter, or follow me on Twitter, at Machado1, and that's really it. I'm starting to get into Skype, but still got a little way to go on that. Working on my computer system, creating some tracks for shows, getting my co-host, she's doing her move. Valerie is coming soon. She's doing her move. And I do have one of my co-producers, Teresa, is lining up the interview. So we're coming together here. And, we're just rambling tonight, testing the waters. Seeing what's going on, but you know what's happening here in Texas. Getting ready for this event in Ellis County, October 10th. It's going to be fun. I'll be emceeing, so we'll also be doing live streaming on YouTube. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you.